Remarkable exuberance in financial markets has sent a tingle through the European Central Bank. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Governments around the world have deployed record levels of support during the pandemic to keep their economies from crumbling. But the effects of all that stimulus have put the European Central Bank on alert. In its twice-yearly report on financial stability out this morning, policymakers have raised concerns about how well financial markets have fared in the face of weak economic fundamentals. It also flagged worries about whether companies across the region are relying too much on debt to stay afloat. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more on that.
They do see some early signs of an increasing level of problem loans with the banks. In the last year, actually, they'd managed to deal with a lot of their old portfolio of problem loans. But the European Central Bank does see this as a potentially quite serious new issue. They're also a bit worried about the fact that there's been some spillover in terms of borrowing costs from recent events in the United States. So rising rates there in markets because of concerns about inflation and the stronger recovery. No immediate crisis that the ECB is seeing, but clearly it is looking a little bit warily into the future.
And policymakers are also concerned about the rising risk that companies could go bust once a lot of these government support measures fade. They call it corporate zombification in this report.
Yeah, there's a kind of tension in their report. In relation to what are genuinely zombie companies, you get the impression that they feel that actually they should be allowed to go. And one of the things they're looking for is improved systems in government support packages for identifying companies that really are viable in the long term and those that aren't. But at the same time, they do have concerns that if the support measures were cut off too soon, you might have many businesses that are in principle viable, but just dealing with a short-term loss of demand for their products, that they might go under as a result of that.
The BBC's Andrew Walker for us. Thank you.
My pleasure, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, inflation fears are continuing to stalk global markets. European shares are down in the 1% range after data showed UK consumer prices doubled from a year ago in April. Meanwhile, inflation across the Eurozone also saw a sharp rise. Well, we've talked a lot on this program about the global coronavirus vaccine distribution effort, and stark differences have emerged this week. Much like in parts of the US where free cheeseburgers and public transport cards are being offered to encourage vaccination, in China, vaccine centers are offering laundry detergent and cooking oil to increase uptake. Authorities say it's helped. More than 400 million doses have been administered nationwide so far. Meanwhile, in India, where a record 4,529 people died yesterday from the virus, there's a shortage of vaccines. And the Serum Institute of India, the world's biggest vaccine maker, said it won't be able to resume exports until the end of the year. That's as it puts priority on getting doses to its own population to control its deadly outbreak. And it's a starkly different picture in Malawi, where health authorities have destroyed today more than 19,000 doses of AstraZeneca vaccines. They say the vaccines expired and will be disposed of because there's insufficient data to determine whether they're still safe for use. Uptake there has been low because of widespread misinformation around their use and infrastructure challenges. To Argentina now, one of the world's biggest beef exporters. The country this week suspended all foreign sales of the red meat for the next 30 days. It's all part of efforts to control inflation there, which is approaching an annual rate of 50%. Many consumers say they can't afford to buy beef, while producers say the export ban will cost jobs. Julia Strader is a director of the Center for Political Economy in Buenos Aires. She explains why the government has resorted to these measures.
It's not working, the measures that the Secretary of Commerce disposed 2 months ago to buy the meat in a popular price. The meat is rising double of the inflation. So they are trying to try another thing. It's going to guarantee that the exporters of meat, 75% of the meat, is going to China. So the government is saying, okay, you cannot export for 1 month and you have to negotiate the amount of meat that has to stay here in Argentina, an accessible price, and also the other part can go outside.
So the goal really is to bring down the price of beef. You know, we've seen the amount of beef that people consume fall to the lowest level on record because it's so expensive at the moment. We've already heard from some farm groups who have started protesting this measure to ban meat exports for the next 30 days. What will happen from here, do you think?
I think two things. First, we have to see how effective is the measure, because the exporters are not a lot of people, but also people here in Argentina, also with pandemic, is really in a very poor situation. We are in the lower index of consuming meat in the history. So Argentinians cannot buy meat, and also we have almost the 50% of people under the line of poverty. So I believe that people is going to see with good eyes. Government is trying to protect incomes.
And you mentioned beef exports to China. In 2020, that trade reached almost $3 billion. So does this decision from the government almost come down to politics ahead of the midterm election later this year, trying to bring down consumer prices to get support ahead of the election?
Of course, the election year is a very important moment to show population that you as government are trying to make people live better. So the power of income is very, very important. But also demand of China is rising since 2020 because of particular situation in China that is buying a lot of meat. And also the rise of the commodities prices, soya, cereals. This situation is trying to be regulated for the government with some decisions of external commerce, like barriers or like a tax for the exporters to make a differentiation between the external price and the internal price.
Julia Estrada of the Center for Political Economy in Buenos Aires, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget, you can stay updated with all the day's news. Find us at marketplace.org on the web. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.